Guys, I feel the love for some of you so strong that you believe more in me than I do in myself. You know, I ask myself so many times, Lord, why? Why me? I mean, even, you know, Atticus, I love his prayer. He's praying for my speech, which is great, you know, because I'm going to need it. But you also going to need help with your hearing. You're going to have to understand tongues. Because I'm good at making up words. I'm not the most eloquent. I saw Atticus and Matt here, and I was like, why am I teaching? If you guys are here, I shouldn't be teaching. But God, you know, He has a plan. And when you say yes to the Lord, you have to be willing to submit to His plan. Sometimes, you know, this for some of you may be so simple. It is not simple for me. It is really hard for me to speak to His congregation. It is something really serious that I take very serious. And I try to study and I try to do what I'm supposed to do on my own. But the responsibility is far too great. Now, I know that this is not your only food, or this should not be your only food during the week. But guys, when we're singing, when I saw John pausing and he stopped singing, I know that feeling that when your heart cannot speak no more, when your voice cannot help you, and you have to just be quiet, or sounds will come out of your mouth that are not necessarily, you know, in tune. Well, that's when you realize that God is good and that we don't deserve what He gave us. You know, Matt was praying, we're still alive. We're still here. We're still gathering together. We're not dead. In our Bible study on Friday, we were going over Ananias and Sapphira. Their sin struck them down dead, right there. Is this all the money? And they say, yes, boom, drop dead. He's been very patient with us, with some of us more than others. When I look inward, I don't see much to serve the Lord. I just have a heart that says, if you send me, I go. You know, sometimes I go, you know, complaining. You know, such and such is better. Why that guy is smarter than me? He's stronger. He's faster. Why? Why am I here? And I don't know. I don't want to be disrespectful, but that's just my heart. You know, it takes more of me to walk in a straight path than a lot of you. But He has so many beautiful ways to say, hey, because you're my son. Because the blood of my son was not shed in vain. It was shed for the ones that I won, and you're one of them. What else can you do about it? I mean, don't you feel bad now remembering the days that you don't want to come to the church? That you don't want to gather with the people? Don't you feel bad about it and say, Lord, why do I do that? When I have the opportunity to preach to my coworkers, with my family members, and we don't do it because we don't feel like it? Don't you feel sad that He has given you so much and you're not willing to go there? Guys, these are serious business, guys. Take them serious. Take them very serious, because you are right now in this stage of your life because God wants you to be there. Are you growing? Are you walking in sanctification? And are you walking in prayer? I look some of you, and I, you know, every time I see you guys, it's like, wow, that guy. when I was his age, her age, I didn't want to be in a church. And you see how God used them here. That's amazing. So, I'm sorry, I speak too much and then I get nervous and I speak even more. So our text this morning is going to be very brief, but I'm going to read a lot. I don't like to read, but I'm going to read a lot because it's hard for me to transfer ideas to some other people. It's really hard. It has always been hard. So I feel that I need a lot of background for you to understand what I'm saying. So if you are not fully engaged with me, you're going to get lost. You are. Now, think about this. And I didn't realize this until yesterday when I'm, you know, working on the sermon. By the way, I only had a day and a half in advance. So 1 Peter 3:15 that says that you need to be ready to present defense. Now it takes a different, you know, an even more understanding for me. Pastor Jason keeps saying, you know, you need to be wise with your time. Use your time wisely. Well, yesterday was making a lot of sense. It's like, yeah, and I didn't listen. So it's only three verses. The first one, I'm just going to use one idea, and then there's going to be two more verses. But for that, I want to take you in a walk in our lives. You know, we have babies in here. I don't know how much they're understanding, and we have elderly people. So we have the whole spectrum of ages represented. Of course, we don't have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, so like that. But we have infants, babies, kids, young adults, and elderly people. Right? We all are here together. Church is like an oasis. You're going through life, and life is not easy. And some of you are experiencing problems harder than some other people. But when you get to church, you get to that place that you feel rest. It's not the building. It's you guys. It's the unity among us that bring that comfort to our hearts. Have you noticed that? Sometimes in the morning you can be mad, you can be upset with your partner, with your wife, with your husband, with your kids, with your dog, whatever. But once you sit down in the church and you start hearing the singing, your attitude starts changing. And you find that peace. And that peace is given from God when we get together. So seek the unity in the church. There's some people watching right now online. A couple of weeks ago I was working. I couldn't make it to church. So I turned YouTube live. And I was so happy. The problem is that they only show this part. They don't see you guys. But I was so happy because during the singing, yeah, you can see some of the heads. And I was even texting to my wife and she was responding. So, shame on her. And I say, hey, at least look back and say hi. So she went like that. And but this unity is amazing, guys. This unity, you know, Friday nights when we get together, that unity, you're not going to be able to substitute that with anything. Our society wants to substitute all the good things with entertainment, drugs, ideas, different ideas that's supposed to be better. Nah. Here it is. Everything is in here for us. Now, if this is your only food of the week, you need to check yourself. You need to come back and eat on your own. So 2 Timothy 4, 6, and 8. Let's go there. 2 Timothy 4, 6, and 8. Some of the stuff that I'm going to be reading, I'm not going to ask you to go. But the stuff that I ask you to go in the Bible, please try to do that. I give you enough time. When I'm sitting down there and Pastor Jason said, Timothy 2, 4, 6, 8. And boom, he flies over. And I'm like, what? For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all have loved his appearing. Thank you. Lord, we want to thank you for the opportunity to be here. I want to thank you for the opportunity to be in front of your congregation, Lord. This task goes way over my head. But I trust that you are the one doing the work. Your spirit is the one bringing the words in the right place at the right time. Even the speech, Lord, and the understanding, we ask you that your spirit help us, me delivering and then listening. Your word, Lord, is so beautiful. It's so deep. We believe we understand what you're saying, and we do in a superficial way sometimes. But the more we dig, the more we find. We don't understand, not even the surface of who you are, of what we're doing here, Lord. Make me eloquent to speak the words. Give them strength, Lord, to be awake, to be sharp, to listen to what you have to say to all of us this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So I want you to ask yourself these questions. I'm going to ask you 7 questions. Of course, I'm not waiting for an answer. Some of them you may be able to answer. Some of you are going to be able to answer every single one of them. I'm sure you're going to struggle with few, but some of you are going to stop at the first or second question. Especially if you don't have an answer for the first few questions, you need to be listening. Because there's a time that God calls, and you better listen. Oh, I forgot to tell you, the sermon today is the name, Finish the Race. Finish the Race. Question number 1, what race? What race are we talking about? Question number 2, am I on the race? Question number 3, why am I in such a race? I didn't ask to be in a race. Question number 4, do I want to be part of the race? Question number 5, am I doing good in this race? Question number 6, have I learned to run the race? Question number 7, am I ready, in the best of my knowledge, to finish such a race? So let me give you a brief overview over Christian earthly existency. We all came to this world by our moms. Some of us have our mom still in here. So that's how we came to the world. The exact same way, every one of us. There's none of us that was dropping here when he was 20 or 6 or 5 years old. We all were born as babies. We have that in common. We don't have in common what family we came into. or our families are different. Some of you, some of us, had different type of blessings in our lives. Some of you were born in Christian houses. Some of us were not. Some of you, some of us were born in abusing situations when we were kids. Some were not. Some of us were not abused when we were kids in different ways. So, even though we came in the same way, we all have different paths in front of us. Some of those paths we can choose, but some of those paths are given to us. And you can complain as much as you want. Why was I born in this situation? Why was I born in this country? Why was I born in this family? Too bad. You were born there because He wanted you to be born there. How are we going to respond makes a difference. We all have the same Creator. All of us were created by God Almighty. Unfortunately, the whole world I'm talking, but unfortunately not everybody is a son or daughter of God. Even though we have the same Creator, not everybody belongs as a children of God. So the story begins something like this. Psalm 51:5. You don't have to go there. Psalm 51:5 says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Psalm 139:15 and 16. "My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." The names of the Bible in Spanish are so beautiful. You know, Isaías, Deuteronomio, Ecclesiastes, they sound so rich. I relied on Google to pronounce words. And then I forgot, Isaiah 44, let's go there, 1 and 3. Isaiah 44, 1 to 3. "But now hear, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, who I have chosen, thus says the Lord, who made you, who formed you from the womb and will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, who I have chosen, for I will pour water on the thirsty land, and string on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offsprings, and my blessings on your descendants." Those of you that have babies, or those of you that are about to get married, or those of you that are eventually going to get married, you have no idea the blessing that you're going to be for your kids. When you are born in a Christian household, you have a lot of advantages that unfortunately some of you don't see. And unfortunately some of you are not going to see until you have kids of your own. So one thing for you guys, young guys that still live with your parents, when you go back, appreciate everything that they've done for you. So, any questions that you were created by God? I have a few more, but then I'm going to run out of time. We are God's creation. By His will, we're here. And by His will, some of us are not here right now. So you were babies. And then my son is about to be 19. Next month. 19. Age caught up to me in a way that is impressive. I didn't realize that. You know, I still remember Rene when he was born, when he was a baby. And when I see him once in a while, I was like, wait a minute, what happened? Well, that happens. Time flies and you don't even realize. Ecclesiastes, that's the best I can. 11, 9 and 10. Ecclesiastes 11, 9 and 10. Rejoice, O young men, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart, in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body. For youth and the dawn of life are vanity. When I was reading this, I was like, wait a minute, that makes no sense. He asked me to rejoice, and he tells me, encourage me. But then he says, be careful because you're going to be judged. Well, it made perfect sense. Because we are to enjoy our youth within the walls of what God has ordained for us. And He's the only one that will grant you the joy of life. So in my case, when I was young, I was called. I didn't know Christ when I was a kid. I didn't know Christ when I was in my early teens. I just do whatever I thought it was good. I had extremely good parents, loving parents, extremely hardworking dad, a very strict mom. But I guess nobody taught them either how to be Christian parents because they didn't know Christ themselves. So I was called like God. Let's go to John 10, 27 and 29. John 10, 27 and 29. I love sheep. They're fun. They make you work a lot, though. Right, Daniela? I have real sheep at home. Just for you that are like, what is he talking about? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the hand of my Father's hand. Are you a sheep of God? Because if you are, and you know that for sure, no one, nothing can take you away from His hand. The Creator of the universe is telling you, no one will take you away from my hand. Do you think He has power to keep you in His hand? When you go out, just look up and see what He can do. I mean, take a look on your hand to see what He can do. Well, He's saying you are His and nothing will take you away. Don't ever forget that. In a way that make you feel safe, but also in a way that should make you feel humble. Because if He was willing to grab you in His hand, you have a responsibility. Romans 8:28. And we know all things work together for good to them that God loved, to them who are called according to His purpose. You know, I have misused this verse a lot. When you have a friend, maybe not a believer, that is going through a struggle, maybe even a believer that is going through a struggle, but one of those struggles that we find ourselves to be in struggle. Not those that comes because life is life, but those that we cause ourselves to have. It could be a disease, you know, it can be a sickness. I know I should not be eating that, but hey, it tastes good. I know I should not, not be doing this, but hey, I want to do it. So I have misused this verse in situations like that, or unbelievers. And I say, we know all things work together for the good to them that love God. And then we stop right there. No. To them who are called according to His purpose. Right? Some of you have some allergies to certain foods. You know you should not be eating them. But if you do it anyway, don't be saying, hey, you know, everything works for good. All those who love the Lord. No. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Come on. So, everything works for good to them who are called according to His purpose. A lot of you, brothers and sisters, have been called to His purpose. So we were called by God. I have a lot more verses. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and I have like 15 that I'm not going to go through all of them. But these are just verses that make you understand that God called you. I was not a special young kid, and that's why He called me. There was nothing in me that He needed. First Corinthians 1, 26 to 30. First Corinthians 1, 26 to 30. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the world's standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. So He mentioned three things, and I fall in all three categories. So we are running a race, guys. Once you say yes to the Lord, He puts you in a race. He puts you in a fight. Every athlete, I don't know if we have athletes in here, the race. When you sign into a race, you don't give your own terms. You don't say, by the way, we're going to practice, but we're going to start at 9 o'clock in the morning. And we're just going to run for, you know, a kilometer, not five, just one. And it can take us up to 30 minutes. When you sign for a race, there are rules that you have to follow. Right? It's not what I won. It's what the race is about. So this race is about something in particular. And it's a little bit different from all of us. So you need to be aware of what role you're playing on that race. There are consequences of stepping away of the race. Now, let me share a funny story. A new dog came into my house. It was roaming around the streets and he decides to stay in my house. I like the dog. I say, well, you know, I'm not a good owner, but I feed you and you can stay. It's a hunting dog, unfortunately, and I have animals. So later on, I learned that the dog was trained. It's a dogo argentino. It was trained to catch the prey. I didn't know that when I say, yes, I keep it. So sometimes I have a little pen on the back of the property, and sometimes I let the animals into the grass behind my house. And the dog was so nervous whenever the dog saw my animals running around. She would get so nervous. It's like looking at me. It's like, what do I do? Do I kill them? Do I bring you all them? What do I do? So Daniela was working with the dog not to hurt the animals. At the beginning, it was even chasing the chickens. Later on, it's like, chickens, they're not fun. Those are bigger. You know, they're a little more challenge. And we used the other dogs to help us put the animals inside the pen. So this is what I'm thinking. I don't know. I don't speak dog or sheep language. One of the sheep used to get out of the fence, out of the protection from a new threat. And this sheep came out. So guess what the dog did? Nobody was around, so my new dog, went and grabbed the sheep from the neck. I guess she was trying to put her inside the pen. Nobody was there to rescue the sheep until my dog killed the sheep. I mean, it makes sense. Sheep, you're not supposed to be outside. There's threats right here that can hurt you. Well, Christians, don't a part of the race from the race. Because there's an enemy, like a lion, looking for you when you step out. You know, there's a lot of stuff that makes sense when you see the sheep. I was reading an article. The sheep, they didn't think that they had that ability to listen, to recognize voices, smells, and even figures. But apparently, they're very sharp on hearing voices, smell, and they can even recognize faces. They didn't know that. So, you know, the more I discover little things like that on sheep, it's like, no wonder we are called sheep in the Bible. They're so naive. You know, they have good food right there. Oh, no, everybody wants to fight for that piece of branch that is on the other side. It's like, come on. I guess they don't know how to read the Bible, right? But we do. So stay in your race. Those trials that God put in front of you, if He put them in front of you, is just to make you stronger. It's to make you wiser. If you guys are going through life and you haven't had any problems, any issues, I'll say, well, I don't understand. How's that possible? If you want few, I can share. I have, you know, quite a few in line waiting for me. So we're in a race. We're also, the Bible also says that we're in battle. The Apostle Paul says, you know, I have fought the good fight. So there's a fight going on. What a soldier does. When a soldier gets deployed and he goes to a foreign land, he is expected to do his job, right? A soldier cannot be on a Monday morning and say, hey, you know what? Today I'm not feeling like being a soldier. Today everybody's going to go and try to rescue or fight or do whatever. I don't feel like that today. I just don't. So you guys go ahead without me. Hey, you get the guy that drives us around. Well, find somebody else because I'm not up to the task today. What will happen to a soldier like that? Right? What happened to you when you don't want to be here on Sunday? Oh. Aren't you a soldier of Christ? Aren't you in the army of Christ? So why don't you read your Bible? Why don't you pray? Why don't you serve in your church? Paul wants to retire from the responsibility of the yard. But he won't. Right? Because he understands. Mr. Dan and Miss Cindy, they're responsible for the good shape of the church. And they don't step away. They don't say, oh, forget it. Nobody's going to clean that on Sunday. My family and I used to clean the church. And I knew situations where one family, for some reason, for a good reason, could not make it to clean the church. Guess who was cleaning it? Mr. Danny. You guys didn't know? Well, he was cleaning it. So a soldier works. On what his commander-in-chief asks him to do. If you say you're a soldier, but you don't have responsibilities within the church, where's your... They give them really a few things to... I'm not too familiar with the military stuff, but they give them a few things to recognize what type of soldier they are, right? So if you say you're a soldier, but you don't have any of that, any recognition, ask yourself, ooh, what army am I in? Let's go to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, 10 and 18. No, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the scheme of the evil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and have it put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Can we be more clear that we are in a battle? That we are soldiers of Christ? So going back to 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. So this, Paul is about to get executed. They're about to cut his head off, and he knows that. And with that in mind, he's writing these words. Just think about that, guys. If we were told such day, we're going to kill you. Not you're going to die. We're going to kill you. How will we react? Because if you think about it for a minute, he knows his end is coming and it's not going to be pretty. I mean, he's not going to go to sleep and he's going to pass away right there. He has seen, he saw how they kill Christians. Right at the beginning, he was part of it, right? So he knows it's not pretty. And even though knowing all of these things, he's writing a letter. And he's saying, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. Now think about it. He used the word departure. Right? When you're saying goodbye, when you're about to, I went and visited a friend and I'm about to go, I say goodbye. I'm out. But he's saying, I'm going to depart. But he's going to die. But he understands. He's going to where he's supposed to be going. It's not over. Part of his journey ends, but the real journey, the one that we all going to experience, and is going to last longer than the one we have right now. The Bible says we're like a grass, like a, you know, those beautiful flowers that you see on this time of year. Tomorrow, they're not going to be there. That's our life, guys. We're going to departure from this life. The word that was used in departure was analysis. And the use for that word is to undo a nut on a rope. So he's saying, I have been a ship. I have been a boat. Stranded, like tied up to the edge of the sea. But now I'm going to departure. Now they're going to cut me loose and let me go. So again, we cover all the ages. Little ones. Little younger ones. Adults. Elderly people. We all going to departure one day. Where are you heading? It's a question that you need to ask yourself. Because once you departure this earth, unless he take you before that. But once you departure this earth, that's your eternity. So make sure that you know where you're going. So that's the only part that I wanted to use on verse 6. Departure. Can we say at this point, now I'm talking about probably, you know, for more the elderly, which I'm not saying that I cannot die today or tomorrow, but you know, I understand that that's life. Can you say at this point in your life, I have fought the good fight? Can you say that? Now, it says, I have fought the good fight. So wait a minute. So that means there's a bad fight? Because he's being very specific. The good fight. Yes. When you don't know Christ in this land, in this earth, you fight with life. But you're fighting in vain. Nothing that you do outside of Christ has impact. Or eternal impact. There's a lot of people that fight in earth. And they're very wealthy. They're very knowledgeable. They accomplish great things. But outside the will of God, it's all in vain. You're working for stuff that is going to perish. People that accumulate great wealth. You see them in you read about it, you see them on TV. Such and such had so much money and they die. Now all the family's fighting over the money. Whoo! What a disaster. So can you say, I have fought the good fight? I have finished the race. Paul said three things. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Some of our races are going to be, we will say, interrupted. It was a plan, but we will say it was interrupted. Oh, that guy, he was only 18 years old and he died. He was only 20 years old and he died. Well, his race was over. Do you know when your race is going to be over? You know, that's what we're starting with Pastor Jason. He said, God reveals his will, but don't reveal his will. This is the will he's not that I understand he's talking about. You know, there's an end of my race. I don't know when that is. But he knows. But I know what the race I need to run in. Let's go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us also lay aside every weight and sin in which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Guys, think about those guys. They didn't have a Bible. They have the Old Testament and they have these letters from Paul, Peter. But we have the whole witness for us to study, for us to learn from. So especially if you've been a Christian for years and you don't know what you're doing and you don't know if you're called to serve, if you don't know if you're called to preach the gospel to the lost, if you don't know all of these things, you may have been on the bench. And unfortunately, some people, they have been on the bench for too long.
Let's pray. God, we want to thank you for your mercy, Lord. Because despite everything that we do against your will, we're still here. You're still giving us another opportunity. There's going to be a last Sunday in earth for all of us. Help us. Help us fight the good fight. Help us endure the race. Oh, how lovely words will be to be able to say, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the building you allow us to be in to study your word. But help us, Lord, in our own, individually, to learn from you, Lord. Strengthen our minds, our bodies, to stay in the word. To learn, to teach, to bring consolation for those who need it. Lord, there's a crown, the crown of justice, waiting for those who love your coming. I know my brothers and sisters here, Lord. They love your coming, Lord. And I'll see them with a crown on their heads. For our friends that are here, Lord, that doesn't know you, have mercy on them. Reveal yourself to them. Grant them the opportunity to get to know you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen.